This is Channel One Right, the beginning of the visit with first visitor Louise Graham on Friday the 12th of September, 69. Channel One Right, the beginning of the first visit of Louise Graham to make the music tape of the gospel sing on Friday the 12th of September, 69. This is Channel One Right. Channel One Right, the beginning of the first visit with Louise Graham working on that gospel sing, the tape of it. part of her family reunion, and that was on Friday the 12th of September, 69, Channel One Right. This is the beginning of it. This is the beginning on Channel One Right. This is the beginning of that working with Louise Graham over here on a tape of the gospel sing over at her house that was a part of her family reunion. And this is the beginning of it, Channel One Right, and today, Channel One Right on Friday the 12th of September, 69. Now, Fee was out there working with her horses when Louise Graham drove up. And Louise stopped with her, and they just talked big about horses. And she told a fine story about her daddy and horses. And I'll bring that out a little or early in this tape. I ask her to tell it all over again. But now you hear her coming.
Thoroughly enjoyed it sitting there by myself.
Yeah.
That's the one that's on it now.
I think people miss out when they don't take them down so they can hear them all over again. Mm-hmm. Now, I taped over the first part of this Channel One Right just a little bit up to 34. Up to 34. This is 17. Up to 34, I taped over it, and I forget what it was. It was nothing essential. She was telling at 34 about her son, a grandson, who learned to do the organ, and she must have been telling Faye and me about it to start with. But there's nothing unusual to start with. We just sit down and try to put that her big tape recorder, make it work. She doesn't know a thing about it. She bought it and never had been able to use it. She's played tape on it, but she's never been able to record. And this is 22, and I still have to go up to 34. I'll just talk so it won't seem blank. This is going up to 34. And this is Channel One Right, the beginning of the first visit with Louise Graham. We put together a tape of the gospel sing, and she puts in the organ playing that her grandson does, Hoyt. And in between, she tells a lot of stories. Now, they are on this tape. They are not, of course, on her tape. They are on this tape. She tells a great many interesting experiences, and they're put in from time to time. They're on my sheet, index, and this is 30. Now I need to get up to 34, and the first meeting was on Friday the 12th of September, and then we met again on Friday the 19th of September, a whole week in between. I thought it was longer than that. It must have been longer than that. I couldn't have the dates wrong, but this is up to 34 now, and she's ready to talk about Hoyt.
Money, baby, and pay for this organ, which we did. So I told Mr. Lipton to bring the organ out to us, and he did. And we have thoroughly enjoyed how it plays. Almost every morning before going to school, he plays barefooted, puts a match or a toothpick in his mouth, and he sits there. He lets nothing take his mind away from when he's playing. Everything is just by ear, and most of the songs I sing for him, some of them I do not know, but he really picks them out just within himself. First on his mouth organ, and then his guitar. Then he comes up to my place on the organ, and then the piano. I was so proud of him a few weeks ago. Believe it or not, my boyfriend was sitting in the living room, and he asked Hoyt to play some old honky-tonk thing with him on the mouth organ. Hoyt says, "I'm sorry, Mr. Campbell. I don't play anything but sacred songs and hymns that Nanny sings for me." He said, "Nanny sings for me." He said, "Once in a while I play Hank Williams' song." And I could have squeezed him in too. I was so proud of him to know that he's played only hymns for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'll tell you, when you play it over, if you don't want it, you
well,
can,
I
you
want
it.
My niece in South Carolina would be the proudest thing.
Oh.
Let's see how it sounds.
Say, she got a marvelous voice, hasn't she?
You do.
Yeah.
It
just carries itself so nicely.
And your mic's
a little. Let me tell you, Louis, I want you to tell me, I didn't quite get it, and you know, I want to talk to you and get things straight, a lot of other things straight. You were telling that little story out there about the horse, and I didn't get it all. What was the occasion for it? Just give it to me straight.
Well, we always had horses. I was raised on the horses back then.
Yeah.
And, of course, we had a good farm in those days. We'd done most of our farming with horse and mules, you know. In fact, my father, when we left Rochelle when I was 3 years old and come to Macanopy, see, he had inherited part of it from the grandfather, from my great-grandfather, and he had inherited part of the property down there. But he had to have it all cleared.
Uh-huh.
And we moved to Macanopy in 1911. And, of course, we all always had horses. And when I got old enough to have my own horse, during high school time, I had my own horse. And
did you?
Like I said, when my brother had his, see, I was the youngest girl, and then my brother younger than I. We was home so much longer than the rest of them, and we really feel closer. You know, the brother that was there that night that had been sick. So that's it. We were the only ones that had a phone out in the woods then. You see, my old home where my father and mother lived was just about a half a mile west of where my place is now.
Yeah, that's your old home place.
Yeah,
there.
But it burned in 1934, and we fixed the mom and papa little house just across the way. He had a little tenant house for them, and that's where they lived until they passed away. But we'd go to school. We'd drive a horse and buggy from school to school every day from out there below my place until, I guess, the last 2 years I was in high school, we had a car. But when my mother, this telegram come to a family across the way about 2 miles, and it was a death message. So, of course, they called Papa to take it over to Mr. Harris. And I was going to go. Papa and Mama said, no, let A.J. go. A.J. was going to ride my horse. Well, when he got through with my horse, I couldn't do a thing with her for about 2 weeks. So I snitched around and told Papa not to let A.J. ride my horse any time I was there. So naturally, Papa was going to take up for his. Papa always took up for me, and Mama took up for A.J. Mama was going to make me stay at home just in order so A.J. could ride my horse. So they had this big argument. And we had a well that we had water for the house, but we had the pump way off from, I guess about as far as near that fence. And that's where we'd get our fresh, cool drinking water. I can remember when Mom and Papa used to put our butter down in the well in a jar or bucket to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
No ice. Lord have mercy, how did they raise them children? So anyhow, Papa and Mama got in this argument before he went after the water. So he thought he'd go get him a bucket of water. By that time, Mama would be cooled off. But anyhow, we had a big hallway and then a back porch. And just as Papa got into the middle of the hall there, Mama lit out on him again about letting me stay at home so AJ could carry the message. So one word brought another, and Papa thought he'd cool the old girl off, and he just poured that whole bucket of cold water on Mama and turned the bucket down over her face. And then just the minute he did, he realized what he'd done. And he just grabbed Mama up and said, I can just see my daddy now, loving Mama and petting and begging her to forgive him. And he was sorry. But anyhow, we both wound up taking the message across
the
way.
Well, aren't you a little like your daddy? You got a little spirit, too.
Kind of.
I think that's
wonderful.
That's cute. That is cute.
Okay, we...
That's nice.
I look back, I just think, how much I wish that my father could have lived during television time.
Yeah.
Oh, he loved these baseball games on radio. And way back before anyone had radios, my brother was a chief electrician in the Navy, And he made my mother the first radio that was in the whole country in Macanopy.
Really?
And
really?
Believe me, we had people from all out in those woods who'd come and listen to the radio at night.
Which brother was that?
Tom.
Yeah.
He was at the reunion.
Yeah.
And he made 45 years in the Navy.
Yeah.
And, but I just think how much Papa enjoyed the radio, listening to the ball games, and how wonderful it could be if he could have been here now to have seen television.
Yeah.
But Lord, it'd been these short skirts and these ladies smoking while
these,
he would have had a fit.
What was I going to say? So I have heard this, you know, just here and there. Remember your father, but they all, it's a curious thing. People always remember people as old people with a long beard going into May's store. And, you know, that's all.
The sweetest little experience, my daddy come home from Gainesville one day, and it was right around Christmas time. And this little fellow on the street says, "Oh, Mama, Mama, there's Santa Claus, there's Santa Claus," because Papa had this beard.
Yeah.
And Papa reached in his pocket, and he had a silver dollar. And he gave the little fellow the silver dollar because he had to be Santa Claus for him.
Uh-huh.
And Papa he always carried change in his pocket, so if any of the kids always thought he was Santa Claus, he could give them some. But years ago, when my father was in college, he was in Emory. And when he came home, it was during the yellow fever epidemic. And he was an inspector on the trains. You know, they had to, everybody had to be inspected. And he was down at Seville. And by the way, my grandfather on my mother's side built the first church at Seville.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, my father was this man, Pravat, and Papa got in a fight. And he just butchered my dad up. I mean, he cut the whole bottom side of one of his lungs off because he didn't want to be, he didn't want the train inspected. So that's why my father wore that beard. It was to protect his lungs. He had one half of them was gone.
Oh,
and my mother said he and my mother was going together at the time, and she said she saw my father's heartbeat. When my mother and when my father met Mama, he was at Seville, and Grandpa Lenza, the preacher down there, he always had choir practice. And Cousin Charlie Johnson and Papa went in for choir practice that night. And Papa, I can just hear Papa tell him, said, "We hear this cute young girl come tapping it up and said, oh, walk so dignified, you know." And he says, "Charlie, I'm gonna marry that pretty thing." He says, "Oh, John, you crazy thing," said, "that girl wouldn't even look at you." But I hung around after church was over and said, "It wasn't too long before I married that pretty thing." And that was our mama. So they all I met a man last night that, no, not before last, that knew Brother Gann. He was a personal friend of Brother Gann. In fact, he's preaching over at St. Augustine now, and he lives at Palaca. And he's a widower, and so this friend of mine had just, she'd been dying for me to meet Mr. Kirker. I says, "Oh, you know no preacher don't want to meet me." He says, "Yes, sir, he wants to meet you." So Ruth and I were sitting there eating supper, and this man come in. I says, "Ruth, I know that fellow. Who in the world is he?" She said, "Well, Lord, that's a swinging preacher I wanted you to meet." I said, "Well, I know that man." So Ruth got up and went on over, and he came over and sat down at the table with us, and so we got to talking. He says, "Miss Graham, you from Macanopy?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, I used to preach at Flemington." I says, "You did?" I said, "Well, I live on the road from Macanopy to Flemington." So he got to call old names. I knew everyone he knew them. And he said, "I had a very dear friend that lived in, that preached in Macanopy a long time." I said, "Who, Fred Gantz?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Do you know I was the first person that had him call when Fred died?" I said, "Well, didn't he die a terrible death? You know, he was choked on a piece of apple." So then he asked me about Mr. and Ms. Johnson. I said, "Well, you know, Mr. Johnson's dead." He said, "Yes, I knew. I had his funeral." I said, "That's where I've seen you then." And so I said, "Have you ever been down to the place on the Suwannee River that Mr. and Ms. Johnson built?" He said, "Well, yeah, I spent a week down there." I said, "Well, that's my place now." I said, "I bought that." He said, "You got that beautiful place down there?" I said, "Yes, that's mine. I go down there every chance I get someone to go with."
And I said, well, isn't this a small world? Bear Ruth has been dying for me to meet the man. And he preached out there in 1954, but during that year, well, he was out there 3 years, is the year that I had my kidney removed. See, I don't have but one kidney. So I was sick pretty well all the, most of the time that he was there. And then, too, he had the Baptist church, and I always went to the Methodist. But it was so
funny. Oh, yes, I remember the name. I've heard him preach.
Kirkland.
Yes.
And his wife died with cancer, and well, he's about 59 years old, and I don't know, they said that he remarried again, married a girl about 30, and said she just wasn't cut out to be a pastor's wife. So I guess when they got the divorce, they might have kicked him out of the church where he was or something. I don't know how the Baptist feels about divorce, but anyhow, he's preaching over at the St. Augustine.
Okay, I've got one more thing I want you to tell me about. Miss Patterson said the first time she ever saw you was over at McNopey at a ball game. And she remembered what you did, but she didn't have it straight, and she couldn't tell anybody. She said they was giving a calf away for a prize, and that for some reason or other, you picked the calf up.
No, that ain't what it was.
I want to get that straight now, and I want to tell Miss Patterson about it.
You knew Mr. Chamberlain, didn't you?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Well, he always was doing something to make us money for our ball club. You know, we had a wonderful little old ball club.
Yeah.
So he got, he had this donkey ball game. When we hit the ball, we had to pick up the donkey and run with him. And so
the donkey.
They didn't think I was game to do it, you know. I could always play ball. I've always been pretty active in riding horses, playing basketball, football, basketball, anything, baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was the married women against the single girls, you know. So, boy, I got up to that bat, and they threw me that ball, and I knocked the socks off of that thing. I mean, it went way over yonder in center field. Well, Mr. Chamberlain had the little donkey. It was about the size of a dog. Well, I picked that darn mule up, and I got to third base with that mule. And I was so give out, so, you know, you had to get home with the mule, you know.
Yeah.
And I was so give out when I got to third base, I dropped my little old jackass down on the ground. And he trotted off of me, then I could have run home with him. And that's what she was talking about. And I mean, everybody liked to die laughing. But I knocked that ball far enough till I picked that mule up, and I got the third base with that mule.
Well, how was she?
Well, she was just in the stand, just watching it.
Because,
oh my gosh, the crowd. It was a crowd day. See, we advertised it everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was just, I guess it was 500 or 600 people there.
Yeah.
And then it was the married women against the single girls, you know, and then this donkey ball game. Then the married men against the single boys. You know. And so they put the girls up first.
Donkey ball game.
Yeah, that's what she's talking about. And we tried to get her to play, because I was big and fat, too. And we tried to get her to play, but she wouldn't play. But boy, I knocked the fire out of it. The first ball that was thrown, and I was the first batter up.
Yeah.
And I knocked a clear way out John in center field. Well, you know I did if I picked that mule up and got the third base.
Well, now, that's the first thing I ever heard Mabel talk about, you know, that where she didn't remember the circumstances.
Yeah.
I don't
she,
know.
Did she ever tell you about our trip to Tallahassee?
No.
You know, Cockle, Christian and Cockle down here, we sold our vegetables and all down there to them.
Yeah.
And, I knew there was some error. I knew there was a mistake somewhere in this doggone report, and I couldn't find it. I worked on that thing, and I worked on it. So Fred Gant was, made out my income. So I gave it to him. I said, Mr. Gant, it's an error somewhere. It's an error somewhere in this, and I want to try to find out. So he found out where they had beat me on $1,800. So I went down and I showed it to them and I asked them, would they correct it? And they would not. I said, all right, Mr. Cockrell, I said, you know, I can be nice a long time. But I said, as hard as Mr. Graham and I have worked, and I said, Mr. Graham's been sick this year. And I said, I've had to do most of this farming. And I said, now I want my $1,800. And he says, well, Miss Graham, I can't see where I owe you $1,800. So I took Fred's report and I went to, he carried out the university. And one of the CPA men up there, out there, audited it, and sure enough, it was still $1,800. So I made the third trip down there, and I went to Mr. Christian. I said, Mr. Christian, I said, you and I have been close friends for many, many years. But I said, now, Mr. Cockrell has beat me. I said, there's no use in saying any other words. I said it was an error at first till I found out he will not pay me. So now I'm compelled to say he beat me out $1,800. I said, are you willing? I said, you his partner. I said, are you willing to pay me the $1,800? He says, well, Mr. Cockrell keeps the books, so he wouldn't pay me. I said, all right, all right. I said, I got a real close friend up in Tallahassee. I said, he'll listen to my aches and pains. So it was during the life of Nathan Mayo. Well, I had carried my father to see Nathan Mayo many, many times, so I just began to drive in high school.
Oh, really?
So I wrote to Nathan and right down here at Summerfield, and that's where he lived.
I didn't realize that.
My father and Nathan Mayo was real, real close. And so I wrote Nathan and asked him for an appointment and what we wanted to do. And so he, of course, he saw us. And I cared. So when Miss Patterson found out that they beat me, she figured they'd beat her too, you see. So we all got to digging. And poor old John McCray, they had beat him. He had lost his home, his tractors, and everything. Lord, brother, I got somebody's eyes open around here.
John?
John McCray. You know where his big old house is? It was down there at, well, now, old Cocker beat that man out of that house. What he'd do, he'd take a mortgage and furnish him, you know, and they'd never make enough to pay the mortgage off, you see. Never make enough to come out of the hole.
Yeah.
So, Miss Patterson, when she found out I was going to Tallahassee, well, she got a, I had me to take, make an appointment with her too.
Oh.
So we had this hearing in Tallahassee. And Jim Cotton was our lawyer. She, and that's where I, you know, Miss Patterson is Jehovah's Witness. I learned all about Jehovah's Witnesses coming from Plague, from Tallahassee. So anyhow, we went up there, and by gosh, they had to give us our $1,800, and brother, they closed his doors down there. He can't even buy vegetables. They rebuked his license. That's the reason why old man Cocker went out of business in a lot in McIntosh.
Is that right?
The Commission of Agriculture closed them down. And he carried Clarence Smith up there as a character witness. And I didn't care no character witness because I didn't figure I needed any character witness before Nathan Mayo. But anyhow, he had to pay us $1,800. And
he didn't have a lawyer?
Yeah, he had a lawyer, but our little old lawyer just, and then you see the Commission of Agriculture lawyer was there, whatever you call him, that ain't what
yeah.
you call him, but he was there.
Who was his lawyer?
Golly, I can't remember. But anyhow, he went up there with just such a big shot, the lawyer didn't say very much. Clarence Smith and Cockrell done all the talking. And
yeah.
They thought, you know, they was muddied men and we was just poor as church mice and we wouldn't have a ghost of a chance. But I knew better than that because I knew Nathan Mayo was a man. Anybody's integrity goes a whole lot longer with, further with him in doing his life than all the money in the world. He was for what he was and that's all. But that's where that's really.
Well, how'd Miss Patterson come out on her side of it?
They had to pay her. She didn't. They didn't owe her too much. Not. But anyhow, she didn't get what she.
I've heard her talk, you know. But see, I wasn't. I didn't know the circumstances. It seemed like in her case, it was sort of an accumulative affair.
Yeah.
She just from.
Well, you see what they done. They went over of all the back 5 years of Maya. I didn't only get what he beat me out of that year. I got what he beat me out of all the years back.
Well, how did you happen to keep those records?
Oh, I didn't. I don't never throw nothing away.
You don't.
You ought to see my house.
What do you do? Keep them shoeboxes like Mabel?
I don't never throw anything away.
You know, I think Miss Patterson is one of the most remarkable people I ever saw.
And then I don't ever forget him.
Yeah.
I believe it figures I never forget.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Now let me see, how are you going to rig this up to finish your program?
Well, I got to go because I'm supposed to be at home at 11:30, and I'll just try it on this if I can. I'll just sing it on to her like that.
Well, you haven't finished it. You're going to put some more on it. You can't do it with just one. You'd have to have two machines. Why don't you leave that over here, and first time you get a minute, call me, and I'll do the rest of it with you.
Well, it's not much more. We reckon we can do it now. Have you got to fix lunch?
Well, I thought you'd just stay and have a piece of cheese with us. I don't fix a thing for lunch.
Well, I don't either, because I'm on this Weight Watchers thing.
Well,
Dad,
a guy has a piece of cheese and a carrot. And
no, I'll tell you what. If you do too much at one time, it makes you tired, and you oughtn't to get tired. You're not going to tape in the same for next day or two. Just let it sit right there, and I'll take care of it.
Oh, I know you will.
And you know, when you catch your breath, this is first of the week. I'll get in touch with you, and we'll finish it and enjoy it.
If I'd have brought another reel, I'd let you made two of them for me. I'd have had one that man in Gainesville wants me to fix one for his wife for her to.
Oh, I know where you can get several copies made if that's what you want. But you got to have your first master first. Mm-hmm. But once you get your master thing done, they'll run it off for you.
Yeah, so you won't have to wag it back and forth unless you want to use it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to find me a little machine. Well, it may not sound like this one, but when I go anywhere.
Oh, they sound all right.
When I go anywhere, this is too much trouble again.
Well, if you have the other one, you can still play it through this.
Yeah.
And get your big microphone.
Well, that'd be fine. Well, then
I'll put it up. Just leave the stuff.
Well.
And we'll have another session next.
I want you to show me how to use my microphones anyway.
I can't show you how to use it, but this boy out there, I know, will show you how to use it.
Well, now this won't be in your way.
Oh no, I'll put it up.
Well,
where's
my cheese? Did I bring my pocket?
You know, I don't think.
Let's
see if it is.
No, I think it's in the car.
Well, now you see, that's the end of the tape. Louise went out the door saying that she wanted to sell her land. That's the place she lived on when I first knew her, 150 acres. It brings her in $500 a year, and she's got upkeep of it. She just wants to get out from under it. Now, this is the start. She got here. We've been talking. She's been talking to Faye about horses, and she comes in talking. You can hear what she says.
My reel on the reunion that night. Oh, I have thoroughly enjoyed it sitting there by myself.
Yeah.
That's the one
that's
on.
Well,
it's on it now.
I think people miss out when they don't take them down so they can hear them all over again.
In the store. Here we go. You know that song that we didn't even think we knew, Do You Know My Jesus?
Yeah.
Dadgum, if it ain't, it's pretty some record I've heard, if I do say it, we did sing it. And the little one in James will appreciate, I don't know what all those little extra things are, and that's what I brought it, that's what you can show me.
And this works.
I don't know. I haven't tried it. They just brought me these yesterday.
What are you sticking there?
Over there. On that side, the speakers go here. Right here.
Yeah. There you are. There are your speakers.
Well, they don't go in here, Mr. Miles. See, it says microphone. And this side.
Excuse me. We'll put it on the top.
Now here's the speaker over here.
Let me see now. That's the speaker. Now let me see if I can come out of that. This is the speaker here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, put that in. And then you see, we have to have two. You want a little juice?
I suspect so. Gosh.
Be careful. Wait, sit down. Now, let's see. Now, let it play and let's see if she'll go.
I want that Do You Know My Jesus first.
Alright.
And a couple of the pieces that's on this that we sang.
Alright.
And then I'm gonna put the rest of it my grandson. That now this is the one I wanna take to send to South Carolina to my niece.
Alright. You wanna put the tape on here?
We tried it, and my microphone was just scraping so good. Now you've got to have enough of them, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got to have two. You don't need that whole shebang, do you? You're not going to send a whole hour.
Yes, she wants every bit of my grandson sent it. So.
You want everything?
No, it won't. I want to take what songs I want off of here that we sang that night.
Yeah.
It's not but two or three of them that I want to put on there.
Well, that's what I was thinking. So you don't actually need all this tape. Half of it would be all you want on both sides. Put on a 5-inch reel.
Well, that'd be fair.
Or it don't matter. You just, that's.
Because I'll fill it up before I.
Oh, you fill it up anyhow. Oh, I see. I see.
Yes, she wants it every bit if I have time to put it on. But I have to be back home about 11:30.
Put it on. Now, these things, I think it helps get rid of them. If I act like an expert, I hope you don't get the wrong idea.
Well, I hope you can
read. All I know how to do is just thread the needle, so to speak.
Well.
Let me see.
How about that with children playing the guitar? Because it's, you know, we messed it up.
Yeah.
They did.
Okay. Now, you operate that, what you want. Louise, I wish I made a little tape for Sandra. I wish you could hear that. It's not music, it's her sermon. And I put down her comments. She came over and talked. And her comments are, you know, just her talk is just as interesting as the sermon. And you know what I thought? Now, don't let me influence you. Is you see, if you talk about the thing a little bit and then go ahead and try and do it and put the music down. Oh, that's what I would like. Yeah.
Well,
you know, you don't have to say anything. You just talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't think it up, you know, like that.
Well, I don't ever write my speeches. When I go out to show my slides from the Holy Land, I have all my notes down there, and I never look at them. I just let it roll out from my heart.
Well, I think it's you know it so well. You don't need that, all that other. Let's let me see now. I'm calling the play here. You ought to be telling me. That piece you want to put on first, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, yeah, let's see. I'll have to roll it over a little bit.
Yeah,
this is the tour I'm playing to get done.
Yeah, you just take your time now and get it to suit you.
Wait, I got a little bit too far. I want you to hear.
She had to run a reel clear back.
She
had the wrong ear.
You did hear him? Oh, you already heard.
She listened when I
made
the tape.
Okay. Well, let's see how.
Yeah, you can hear better out there anyhow.
That's it. That's the first of it. Right. Now you want me to tell what we're going to do?
Well, let me see. This
Look now. Is this hooked? The microphone on this is not hooked up.
All right, so we're on this. You can speak over there.
Hmm?
Yeah, you can speak over there.
Well, will it come off? Won't record and play at the same time, can
Try and see.
Huh?
Put it in, let's see what it'll do.
No, you see, I have to turn this around to record. And it won't do both of them at the same time, I don't think.
Let me see. Just put it in here and see. My microphone. Well.
Now you want me to put it on the card?
No. Just plug it in there. Just see how it comes through.
Now what you want me to plug in?
I want to plug in your microphone.
Well, you got it in somewhere. It won't mess this up to try it?
Don't do that. Well, you can't push your record on.
I have to turn this and push this down for it to hold. That's why I said I'm afraid we're gonna mess up our tape.
On this one, the voice will come through now, but it doesn't have to go. That is, you can talk to it.
Mm.
Now, you can't talk to it and see what it'll do.
Well,
you're not going to do anything.
So I put the recording on, see?
You don't want it to play.
Nice, this to make it
start.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to start.
But then it.
Put it on play.
See, it won't do nothing.
Okay. So we'll just do it on this one.
Now, don't we have to have the speaker on one of these?
You're using my speaker.
Oh, okay.
See, it's coming through here.
I want me a little one like you had the other night. Like
oh, yes.
That's the nicest little
Isn't
thing.
Isn't that nice?
I ever seen.
You know where I found out about that from the lighting good. Now, see if that'll work out all right. You see, I have to take it off. Now, let's see. Start with, you want to say what the whole tape is.
This is a tape that I am compiling for my niece in South Carolina.
Now, let me turn it on.
This tape is our family reunion on August
the 9th, 1969. Is that okay?
I just talk a little bit.
I don't know what to say. This is a gospel sing at my home.
Yeah.
Saturday night prior to our family reunion. Each year, all the feasters and all their relations and friends gather at the old Feaster Plantation where our great grandfather settled in 1831.
That's good. Now let's hear how it sounds.
The gospel sing at my home. Saturday night prior to our family reunion. Each year, all the feasters and all their relations and friends gather at the old Feaster Plantation where our great grandfather settled in 1831.
Your voice does it carry nicely. Over.
This is our first number. Did you get that?
Wait just a minute now. Oh, no, do it again.
This is our first number. Do you know my Jesus? This number is dedicated to a friend of mine, Mrs. Gamble, in Gainesville. She was unable to attend tonight, so we're having this tape made in order to carry to her and play, and we do hope it will bring sunshine to her shut-in hours. This is our first number now. Do you know my Jesus? Speaker, here he is.
Wait a minute now. That's a lot harder than you want. Try it.
Thank you.
like that. And you know, now don't let me tell you what.
Well, I want you to, because you know more about it than I do.
I just love to see now what you like about that. You know, I just sort of talk and just familiar, like just like we're talking, like you did before, and see what you like about it, so it won't be formal. Now on this, if you say something that doesn't sound right, you can just tape over.
Rub it out.
Where's your digger? Now, what I would do if we were both on, you see, but you don't need that, both be on. I'd say now, just Louise, just I, you know, what they do now in interview, and they jump you. Now, Louise, just what is it you like about that? Now, the way that puts you on your metal, pushes you on your heels, and makes you say something.
Now, we can never thank Mr. Miles enough for coming out and making this recording. You know, I live alone, and no one will ever know what these hymns mean to me at night when I'm alone here. We hope God will bless each one that's here tonight, and hope they will enjoy it. And I'm making some more tapes, and they will be heard from South Carolina to Miami, Florida, thanks to Mr. Miles. It's wonderful in him.
Now, let me tell you, just leave me out. Now, what is it you like about this little hymn here?
This hymn means so much to me. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know your Jesus? Do you let him guide you each day? Does he walk with you from day to day? I hope so, friends, because after all, that's why we are here tonight to sing these songs, and I hope they will be an inspiration to you.
Now let's see how it sounds.
To Miami, Florida. We can never thank Mr. Miles enough for coming out and making this recording. You know, I live alone, and no one will ever know.
Now, that may not suit you, but
no,
it just delights me just to have a little like that. And then talk about the people who are there, your sisters and all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice, too. Now,
when we start to play the big side of this, and that's when all of us are really coming in.
Yeah.
I think I better roll this back now
okay. So
that we can... I have to roll it all the way over.
Uh-huh.
And so when I finished, see, they had a reception and everything. They started singing at sundown and sang till sun up.
Well, tell me just a little about that. Why are you changing your thing there?
Well, do you hear them on Sunday morning?
No.
On number two?
No.
Oh, well, you get it from 8:30 to 9, it's on 12.
Yeah.
But then after 9, it's on channel 2.
Yeah.
The Florida Boys, the Goodman family, and, they're just marvelous. They come from Nashville, Tennessee. And little old Steve Sanders is a boy that's about 15 or 16, and it is wonderful the way he sings.
Uh-huh.
And I've been listening to him for years and years and years, even whenever we just had radio.
Yeah.
So I turned it on here a couple of weeks ago, and it said that they was going to have this all-night sing in Waycross, Georgia. And they'd start singing from sundown and sing till sun up. So five of we old gals hooked to my trailer. I wrote for reservations at this state park and our tickets and all, but we couldn't get reservations at the state park. They didn't make them.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we got a space.
Yeah.
And we got there about 3 o'clock and we set the camper up. You know, you just wind it up.
Yeah.
And I made them all lay down.
Yeah.
Because I was one girl younger than I was there.
Yeah.
And boy, we got to that football stadium at 6 o'clock, and from 6 to 8, it was the young people, and they were singing, you know, and they was awarded a trophy for the best. And Mr. Miles, the little fellas from this way on up, it was really wonderful. But then at 8 o'clock, all the older, the big group started.
Yeah.
And they sang one, just, we sat there from 6 to 1:30, and the biggest old clap of lightning started. And I said, well, girls, don't y'all think we better go to the car? We can hear from the car. And we just got to the car at 1:30 when the bottom dropped down. Well, the people out there on that football stadium was in on their carts. They had mattresses. They had blankets. They had chaise lounges. Where in the world they put everybody that was in on that stadium? I could in that football field. I'll never know. But anyhow, the next morning, it was a lady in the bathroom, and I said, did you stay all night? She said, well, I give it up at 4:30. I said, were they still singing in the rain? He said, they were still singing in the rain.
Why?
And they sang right on till about 9:30 Sunday morning. But it was marvelous. I had heard them so, you know, and I wanted to see them face to face.
Yeah.
But gosh, they was a far some hit of your fence out there from me.
Yeah.
If I'd have had my microscope, I might
tell the scope I could have seen. Yeah.
But we rode ahead for reserve seats, and we did have lovely seats.
Yeah.
But dadgum, they was in the middle of the stadium, and so then by the time it got to where the bleachers were, while we was a good ways from it, but Lord, you could hear it, but we thoroughly enjoyed it. And then it rained on, it just poured. We got onto the camp, got onto the trailer, and we got inside. I parked right, we scooted in, and we all laid down about 2:30. And of course, we cut the food till about 3:30, and I told them if they didn't shut the map, I was going to turn the camper down. But then it kept such bad weather, we didn't even cook breakfast in the camper. We just rolled it down and cooked on it, and we come on to Folkestone, Georgia, and we eat breakfast.
Yeah.
And we pulled in at my camp on the Suwannee River about 1 o'clock Sunday, and we stayed there until Tuesday afternoon. All five of the old gals, we had a ball.
Who went with you? I wouldn't know.
You know, Iris, the girl, the tall, dark-headed girl that was there that night.
Yeah.
And Miss Hartman, the nurse that was kind of cross-eyed, she was there. She went, and Mrs., you may know Ms. Williams, Ms. Frank Williams' mother from down here. He's a pump man at Orange Lake.
Yeah.
She went,
and
Mrs. Abstein, Lorraine Zatrow's sister, went.
Yeah.
And we had a ball. We're going up to the Grand Ole Opry in a few weeks.
Oh, really? We're
going to drive up.
Now, you want to get the start
on
this?
No, I'd rather. Well, I ought to, because that's not very good.
Get it
but
back.
Let's go on further, and then I'll announce who's there.
All right.
Let's go on further. Preach straight. I don't say that through any horn. Forgive me if I do.
But he clears his throat. So did you notice? But I guess I ought to have it on the reel, shouldn't I? We sing, we praise it. Let me see. But we got such a group in this living room.
Wait just a minute now.
We are going to start our gospel sing now. We're so proud to have our new kinfolk people from Miami, Cousin Julia Feaster Schomar, and Cousin Nanny. My brother and his family from Jacksonville. My brother John Kennedy Feaster. He is the seventh generation of John Feasters that have gathered on this old plantation, and we are so proud to have he and his family with us tonight. My niece, Mrs. Meta Faircloth, is at the piano. I'm supposed to be trying to lead, but not doing a very good job. We hope you will enjoy now. Our first number is Revive Us Again. Now, folks, we want to be revived tonight. So come on now, everybody, let's sing.
is almost at the end of this side, channel one right, channel one right. We are working on the tape at my house over here in the big kitchen. This is Friday the 12th of September, 69. Friday the 12th of September, 69. This is the end of channel one right. Now the tape resumes on channel one over with a prayer for Reverend Cook. The prayer resumes on the other side with the tape resumes on the over with the prayer of Reverend Cook. No, it starts out on the other side with a telephone conversation I had with Louise Graham on Friday the 26th. That's 2 weeks later, Friday the 26th. We kept putting it off. She had called one day and wanted a tape, and I told her, all right. And it was the day that her husband died. He died at 8 o'clock that night, and she was in tears. And somebody was there, and they wanted to hear those songs. And I had kept hoping, you see, that they'd come on and finish them, so I didn't encourage her to just come over and get all her stuff. And she didn't. Now, this is the end of Channel 1 over. This is the end of Channel 1 right. Channel 1 right. This is the end of Channel 1 right. The tape resumes on Channel 1 over after the telephone conversation with Louise Graham.